Me in the New Testament to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3 as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Thinking about the time and the day that we're living in, I think that we're going to see a lot of things that sound familiar to us in this passage of Scripture. We're thinking about the future. We think about the things going on in the book of the Revelation. And certainly some difficult things to see and to hear, but thank God we won't be here for that. But we are here for the times that we're going to be reading about tonight. And living in these last days, what are we to be doing? May the Lord help us. The Bible says in verse number 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." I want to preach tonight on living in the last days. Let's pray together. Father, we need Thee. I need Thy strength and Thy help. Lord, I want to preach the power and the unction of the Spirit of God. I need Thy blessing to be able to do that. Lord, I know that in this congregation of people, that many are going through difficult things and difficult times, and I pray that tonight we'd find comfort in the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for it. Thank You that we're able to hold it in our hands and to hide it in our hearts. Thank You, Lord, we're able to open it up and to preach it from the pulpit. Lord, to practice it in our lives. Lord, may it be real to us tonight. And as we look into this, I pray that we'd be strengthened to live in these times in a greater way for Thee. We'll give You the glory. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We talk about the last days. I think you need to understand, and I need to understand, that that's the whole church age. Paul is giving this to Timothy, states to Timothy that some things that would be happening in the last days. And some of this has been happening ever since the time of Paul and since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think as we're living in the day that we're living in, we're seeing greater and greater evidence of these things being the predominant issues of the day. Not just a case here or a case there, but in all honesty, it's everywhere we look and everywhere we go. Every news article, every report that's given to us, every situation that we're in, at work, at school, at play, we're seeing this. We're seeing things some of us thought we would never see in our lifetime. We're watching things unfold before our very eyes, and we thought we'd never see something like this in the United States of America. We never thought we'd see a day where we'd turn our back on God and say the pleasures of ourself is more precious to us than pleasing You. We never thought we'd see some of that. And we're not seeing it just in the world, we're seeing it in churches. We're seeing it all around. The problem in America is not the people on the streets or the people in the bars, but the problem in America are those that are naming the name of Christ as being their Savior, but not standing up for Christ. May God help us. When we think about the last days, we ask the questions, are we really there? Well, let's look at this and see. The Bible says that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times is what it's talking about. We're in a dangerous time now because people have absolutely no fear of God. When you have a society that does not fear God, then I want you to know that's perilous times. Because if we don't fear God, we'll live recklessly and frivolously. May the Lord help us. The Bible goes on, and for sake of time, we're just going to touch these and move on to the brunt of it all. Are we living in the last days? The Bible says perilous times. The Bible says men will be lovers of their own selves. That simply means everyone doing that which is right in his own eyes. Selfishness abounding. Secular humanism is the case today. You're your own boss. Do what you want to do. If it feels good, do it. It's right if you say it's right, and it's only wrong if you say it's wrong. It doesn't matter. There are no rights or wrong. There are no absolutes. Our society says everything is relative tonight. But I want you to know that there are some absolutes, and I hold the fixed point of reference in my hand. Amen. And dear friends, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. But I want you to understand that everyone will be judged by this fixed point of reference. It'll stand the test of time as it has already stood the test of time. Men will be lovers of their own selves, doing that which is right in their own eyes. The Bible goes on and says, covetous. Have to have what everyone else has. Never content with such things as you have. You know, are we living in that day? The credit problem in America is amazing. There's more credit card debt in America than you could possibly ever imagine. Billions and billions and billions of dollars people are in debt. Simply because they just want to keep up with everybody else. The Bible goes on and says, boasters. We're living in a day where people just brag about everything, don't they? Everything but Christ. You know, I remember growing up, my mom and dad always told me, said, even if you can do something better than somebody else, don't brag about it. And I get around these snotty-nosed kids sometimes that all they want to do is brag and brag and brag. And I have to say, I thank God for a mommy and a daddy that told me, you know what, you ought to have some humility about you. Now look, every now and then I want to brag on my kids or brag on things that the Lord has done for me. You understand what I'm saying? But we have people, they're just proud. They're boastful of what they've accomplished. The truth of the matter is this. Anything good that you've ever accomplished, if it's not God's will, it's not good. And if it is God's will, it's because of Him that you accomplished it in the first place. Every one of us are sinners. We have nothing to brag about, to boast of. I don't boast because I'm a sinner. I'll tell you, I deserve hell tonight. Boasters, proud, the Bible says, and pride goeth before destruction. I believe pride's the opposite of faith. You know, people say, well, pride's the opposite of humility. No, pride's the opposite of faith, because pride is putting faith in self instead of faith in Christ or trust in Christ. We have a prideful generation, don't we? A very prideful generation. So let me ask you, are these the last days? The last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous and boasters and proud. It says blasphemers speak against God. And I'm telling you, this is a blasphemous society. I'm telling you, we see the name of God used in every way but the right way. We see His name mocked and ridiculed. Lord, help us. Disobedient to parents. Oh, that certainly is not happening in our generation. Look, parents are raising kids to be disobedient. I'm not saying here, I'm saying in this society. You know, they go to school and they do something and they get in trouble. It's never the kid's fault, it's always the teacher's fault. I want to tell you something. When I was younger, even if it was the teacher's fault, I got the spanking. And I may not have deserved it for that, but I deserved it for something else, so I didn't have any right to complain. But you know, we've got people that work at the school board. If we could take a survey, and I was to ask you tonight, how many complaints do you get against teachers because the kid's so rotten and unruly that they can't control them, but they say it's the teacher's fault? It's ridiculous, isn't it? You want to know why? Because they've not learned the structure that there's always going to be an authority figure over you. And they're disobedient to parents, and parents are letting it go on. Man. I just didn't have that growing up. I'm not going to say it's a privilege. I'm glad I didn't have that. You know, I backtalked my mom once. Once. I done figured out it's just not worth it. Disobedient parents, we're seeing something happen in this society. You know why? Because they've blasphemed God. They've told them, you know, you come from monkeys. You have no responsibility. If it feels good, do it. Doesn't matter. You don't have to answer to anybody. That's what happens when you don't believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's what happens when you don't think that God created the world, could create the world in 6 days. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Now, you may or may not like what I say, but I'm going to tell you something. It was 6 literal days. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Was no gap. There was a first day, a second day, a third day, a fourth day, a fifth day, a sixth day, and I'm just convinced that God's big enough to do that. And if we realize that and we put our faith in God, and you say, well, what about all the fossils? Well, I'm going to tell you something. There was no death before there was sin, right? So the only way there could be fossils is something had to die. Figure it out. If you can believe that, then there's something wrong somewhere. So we understand, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Now, I don't know how I got off on all that on disobedient to parents, but I did. Unthankful. Have you ever seen an unthankful society like the one we're living in? Not thankful for anything, but only wanting more? Unholy and without natural affection. Look at that. You know what the Bible says? This is just Romans chapter number 1 manifested. The Bible says in Romans 1 verse 26 and 27, I want you to notice with me, if you will, what the Bible is saying here. Without natural affection. The Bible says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men working with men, that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. See, that's what it's talking about here when it says without natural affection. Pardon my English, but it just ain't natural what's going on in this society. The thing that we're watching go on in California sickens me. You know, our website went on Wikipedia. Is that right? Wikipedia? 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 And you could go to our website, but then it was taken off of that because there was inappropriate material on there. I bet I know what that inappropriate material was. They heard somebody preach against sin, and they didn't like it. See what we're seeing. And I mean, did you see any of the events of Monday evening? Any video footage of what was taking place in California? It was the most sickening thing. It's Sodom. It's wickedness. It's vile affection. I'm telling you, friends, these are the last days. How much longer? I don't know how much longer, but we're living in the last days. Do you realize in the year 2000 that Californians voted a 3-1 margin saying that they believed that marriage was a union between one man and one woman? 3-1 margin, and then these wicked judges, I don't care, somebody said they're conservative judges, but they're wicked if they would pass something like this because they're not there to legislate. They're not there to make laws. The people made a vote. Lord, help us. California and Massachusetts is just the beginning. Thank God there's a few states that have already made their statements. And by the way, this fall, it's going to be on our ballot. You better get out there and vote, friends. I don't care what you vote about the other ones, but you better vote right in this one. If you don't vote right in this one, you ought to go somewhere else. You know, honestly. Because That's ridiculous what we're seeing. It says truce breakers. And we've watched that, haven't we? False accusers. I better move on. I just want you to get a picture. False accusers. You know, especially against the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're watching this happen all the time. You know who's discriminated against in this world more than anyone? Christians. When you can go and you can read the Quran, and I was reading in one story how that they actually have a place where they can go in one certain school. I wish I had that article in front of me. It's on my desk. One certain school, they had a place where Muslims could go and wash their feet and do what it is that they do with all of their rituals and things like that. But a kid in the same school asked some other friends to pray for like a cousin of his, and he got suspended because he asked for them to pray. You understand what's going on? Do you see what's happening? This is the day that we're living in. This is the sign. And by the way, God left us here for such a time as this. You know why He left us here? Because He wants us to take a stand for what's right. We're not going to shove something down somebody's throat, but we're going to stand in truth and in boldness and in love. And dear friends, we're not going to back down from what the Word of God says. We're going to call sin, sin. We're going to call right, right, and wrong, wrong. We're going to tell the truth. We're going to do it in love. But we're going to stand strong on the truth because we're living in the last days, and people need to know that their sin will send them to hell. And the only hope they have is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll wash away all the sins of all the world. The things that sicken us, the things that sadden us, dear friends, ought to break our hearts so much that we begin to pray and beg and ask God to do something to shake our nation. And by the way, I believe He's getting a firm grip on us right now. He's going to bring us to our knees with the political things that we're seeing and the economical things that we're seeing. He will bring us to our knees. We are living in the last days, but we have to stand. Look, it's never right for men to be with men and women to be with women in such ungodly ways. It's never right for children to be disobedient to parents. It's never right to be liars and blasphemies. It's never right, and we'll never, never allow things like that to take place here. We're going to take a stand. The Bible says incontinent. That means no power or restraint over oneself. Senseless killings, atrocious sex crimes are evidence of this. Reminds you of anything? Reminds you of a day that you're living in? You reckon we're in the last days? Fierce means savage, not tame. Despisers of those that are good. You remember there used to be the day there'd be the black-hatted cowboys and the white-hatted cowboys. You'd have the heroes that you could look up to. Now the heroes of our society are nothing but thugs. Many of them sports stars that have fathered many different children in many different ways outside of marriage. And people have, kids have their pictures up on the wall. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. You say, boy, you're a prophet of doom. No, I'm just saying, I'm asking you a question. Are we living in the last days? You know, used to, there was this, the wholesome, that honest teenager just was somebody that stood out in the crowd. Now they're just ridiculed into obscurity. Boys with good haircuts are laughed at. Now they have to wear all kinds of jewelry. Have tattoos all over the body. And by the way, the Bible even speaks against that. You have to use vile and foul language to be... Look, whatever happened to the wholesomeness? Whatever happened to the all-American kids? All-American people, despisers of those that are good. We're laughed at, friends. We're laughed at because our ladies dress a certain way and because we believe that we ought to, men ought to look a certain way, act a certain way. We're laughed at. And the Bible goes on and says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this is what's going on. Even in our churches, we're seeing this. It's evident in a lot of places. It's an entertainment society. It's just like first century Rome, where they had the saying, give us bread and the circus. And the two necessities of life at that time were welfare and entertainment. Talking about the welfare of the people, I'm not talking about welfare. I'm talking about all they cared about was what they had and what belonged to them and being entertained. And we're living in a society now where it's all about entertainment, and it's creeping into our churches. And the only way that a family wants to bring their kids to church is if they have a fun zone and a fun time and a rock concert and all this going on. I tell you, it's not about entertainment. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. May the Lord help us. It says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. I read where church attendance is at an all-time high as far as people attending church, but morality is at an all-time low. That's a form of godliness but no power. And there's people that sit on church pew week after week after week after week, singing the songs as they're led and going out and living like the devil. Monday through Friday or Saturday. We had a person break down in front of the church. And this person was angry. I mean, really angry. And I heard some of the most foul language I've ever heard as I was approaching this person. Cursing. I mean, wicked language. A woman to beat all. And I walked up to her and I introduced myself and I said, I'm the pastor of this church. She said, oh. I said, I take it you don't go to church anywhere, ma'am. Oh, yes. And she told me the name of the church. It was a Baptist church. And so I was just bumfuddled, you know. I was like, wow. I hope none of our folks ever do anything like that. You know? Whatever happened to living right? I'll tell you what happened the last days. We're there. How long is it going to be? When's Jesus coming? I don't know. But He's coming. He's coming. No longer are God and His teachings considered in matters from the pulpit, matters of sex and sexuality, abortion and morality. A lot of Christians and churches are powerless. And the Bible says, turn away from it. It's not about how big you are, dear friends, but it is about who you hold up and lift up. It's about what you're doing. So, in about 5 minutes, I'm going to tell you what we need to be doing. Maybe 10. I just heard a clock go beep, so I figured it was going on 8 o'clock. They'll outlaw those things, you know. I remember we had, you remember back in the day when the Dukes of Hazzard was a show? We had a fella in our church, I'm not kidding you, he had one of those General Lee watches, and at 12 o'clock every Sunday it would go da 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 da. Our pastor's face would get blood red. You'd think he was going to kill that person. Next Sunday all over again, da 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 da. You know, it's funny, isn't it? So I'm glad that whoever, if people's watching, and that's, some of them do. I had one of those watches and never could figure out how to turn it off, you know. But if it ever does da 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 da, you know, I'll talk with you about it then. But as long as it beeps, we're fine. We're seeing some things happen, and we're living in the last days. There's no doubt about it. So let's. What are three things that we need to be doing? Three things that we need to be doing living in the last days. What is it we need to? Number one, we need to be earnestly contending for the faith. Earnestly contending for the faith. I want you to look with me at the book of Jude. Right before, it's the front porch of the book of Revelation. Book of Jude, verse number 1. The Bible says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, what's going on here? Well, Jude is getting ready to write concerning the common salvation. And he does not stop writing concerning the common salvation, but he's endorsing this and saying that from generation to generation, those of us that are saved need to earnestly contend for the faith. There's not a change in subject here. Some people think that he was changing his mind, but that's not what's going to happen. The Bible says because he wants to write about this common salvation, he has to say we must earnestly contend for the faith. In other words, we have to keep the message clear. We're living in the last days, but we cannot change the message now to just go with the times. We have to stand clear and firm on what thus saith the Lord. We have to earnestly contend for the faith. Look, we're in a fight. We're in a war. This is the real deal. This is real stuff. And while people are soft soaping the gospel and they're sugarcoating the gospel and the truth about sin and about hell and about all these things, my Bible says that in all generations we have to earnestly contend for the faith. There's no time to let down. There's no time to back up. People are so confused in our society about what Christianity is all about. But practicing Christianity is trusting Christ and Christ alone for salvation and His direction for our life. A lot of people think that just being good and doing decent things makes somebody a Christian. I've knocked on many doors and say, and they'll say, "Yeah, my mama was a good Christian." I'll say, "Really? You know, that's good. She was just a good lady." There's a difference between being a good lady and being a Christian. Because my Bible says there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we can be good according to the idea of this world, but the truth of the matter is until we've put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are on our way to hell. No doubt about it. Amen. We have to earnestly contend for the faith. We have to earnestly contend for this truth. We have to stand up and fight. We're now to the point where we have to say instead of just saying, "I believe in God" or "I believe in the Lord," we have to say, I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why that? Because that's earnestly contending for the faith. People don't know. They classify God as anything, any idol. The Muslims have their God and the Buddhists have their God and they have their God and the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm telling you, we're going to have to be clear about this and contend for the faith. We're going to have to tell people we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in that kind of a day. This is the last days. We're going to have to do things like this. We have to do it compassionately, with deep concern, but we cannot give ground to the devil. And that's what's happened in our churches, isn't it? We've just given ground to the devil. We've opened up the door and said, "Come on in." You know, well, we've got to grow, so let's just, you know, we'll compromise here, we'll lower the standard here, we'll let them, you know, come as they are and leave as they please and blah, blah, blah. We'll let this happen, let that happen. But the Bible says we're to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. Isn't that what it says? Once delivered. So this faith was once delivered through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every generation we have to earnestly contend for the faith. You know, churches are finding new ways of worship, worship team and a worship leader. By the way, I thought the worship leader was the pastor. You know, he's to lead in the services. That's a pastor-led church. He's not to dictate. He's not to rule with an iron fist, but he is to lead as he is led by the great shepherd. So we understand that. So many are going to the rock concert avenue, and they're going just as far as they possibly can, and it's no different. I'll never forget, we had a crusade come through town in Kingsport, Baptist Crusade, and every night, man, it's had some great services. Good, solid preaching. They said, "Thursday night now is going to be youth night. Thursday night is going to be youth night." And then I saw who was going to be singing, and I said, "I'm not going. You and I were married at the Dobbins Bennett, whatever you call that, the gym." We didn't go. My mom worked with a lady who had been going, and And she didn't realize what was going on Thursday night, and she couldn't get her son to go to church. He just was away from the Lord. I don't know if he'd ever been saved. And she got him to go on Thursday night because those youth night preaching been good every night. They had a different preacher that night, not the same preacher as the other night. And this is what he said after the service. He said, "Mom, it was awesome." He said, I felt just like I was at a rock music concert. To make a difference, friends, we're going to have to be different. We're going to have to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, people may or may not like me, but I've always taken that stand. I believe it's right. I don't believe we need to be like the world to win people to Christ. I believe we need to be like Christ to win people to Christ. We have to walk closer to the Lord. And anything the world wants, some churches say, let's give it to them if they'll just get in. All that confusion is being given to this generation. But what they need is a clear and a certain sound. May we be that kind of church. And I hope there's other churches just like it. Number two, encourage one another in God's family. Encourage one another in God's family. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, if you're watching your watch, I'm sorry, I've gone over my 5 minutes. The book of Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 23, but I will wind this down in just a moment. Verse number 22, Hebrews 10, 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see a day approaching. So here the Bible teaches us the word encourage one another. I think it has to start at home. I think if you have a husband, if you have a spouse at the house, then you need to be encouraging them there. Parents need to encourage the children and encourage each other in the Lord. We're living in a difficult time and in a difficult day, and we need encouragement. And we need to work on it just on a daily basis. Let's just work at encouraging one another. If you know somebody that's a Christian, you live close to somebody, you work with somebody, encourage that person in the Lord every day. Work at it. Just start saying, I'm going to be an encouraging Christian, you know? I'm going to take my stand. I'm going to stand right and do all that, but I'm going to do my best to encourage people in the Lord. That's what the Bible says we're to be doing, especially as we see the day approaching. What day? The day of the coming of the Lord. That's what it's talking about. The closer we get to that, the more we need to encourage one another. And by the way, at church, encourage. You know, when somebody comes to church and it's been a month since they've been here, don't go up and say, well, where you been? You been laying out and blah, blah. No, go up and say, we're so glad to have you. We've missed you, but we're glad you're back. You know? And don't call anybody on the phone. And by the way, don't ever call somebody on the phone and put them down for not being at church. Ever, ever, ever. You call and say, we love you and we miss you and we hope to see you back soon. That's as far as it needs to go. As far as it needs to go. We have to encourage one another, especially as we see this day, because we're living in a difficult time and in a difficult day, and we're going to have to just work through this and fight the good fight of faith and stand strong and stand true to one another. We have to take seriously what the Bible says here about exhorting and encouraging one another in these times. I look all around. I see people that's going through difficult and desperate times. Sometimes all they have is the privilege to come to church and to hear something encouraging, and we've got to give them something, you know? People in God's family are feeling pressure. I've never seen a time where people are so discouraged as these days. So let's just work at it. You know? Go up and shake a hand. You know, hug a neck. Men, hug men, ladies. Hug a lady if you know them. By the way, you don't need to hug ladies' necks that you don't know very well, because some people take offense to it. Right? You got to learn that stuff. And so instead of being an encouragement, you may discourage them from coming back. So you have to be careful about it. You find out and you just work up to that point. But we have to have words of encouragement. Stand true. That's what the Bible says. It says, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering and have this compassion. It says, love one another. That's what the Bible says. We need to encourage one another. Make a practice of it. These are perilous times, so everywhere we go, just be an encouraging Christian, you know? Just work at it. I'm one of those preachers, man, I can get down in the mouth awful quick. And I start saying, look how bad it is. And we started out looking at all these things, and see, I got worked up over that. It's not what I wanted to do. It's what I did, though. Sometimes I start looking at the times and I realize we're going to have to get through this and work at it. Encourage one another. And then the final thing is endure hardness as a good soldier. Endure hardness. Back in our text, right before our text in the book of 2 Timothy, you can read with me where the Bible says, I read from this Sunday, the Bible says in verse number 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What is this hardness? The context of it, you read verse number 4, it says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, they may please him which hath chosen him to be a soldier. The wear of the world against you as you bear the reproach of Christ from living for him is real. So we're to endure the hardness and we're to bear that reproach. We're to take a stand for the Lord. Not everybody's going to like what we say and how we stand. So we're going to have to endure the hardness. That's why it's important that we encourage one another in our church family. Because there might be a few little differences, but in all honesty, we believe the same things and understand this word to be truth. And so when we're going out, we're dealing with all kinds of people in the world, you know, and they think we're idiots and crazy and, you know, us fundamentalists. I heard somebody say, there's two kinds of fundamentalists. One put the fun in it, the other put the mental in it. I want to be in the fun part, don't you? Only the part that's an enjoyable thing. I've seen some of the mental ones. I don't care about that too much. But they are crazy. We have to weather the storms. There's people that you know, maybe that you work with, or maybe even people in our church that go home to maybe an unsaved spouse or children. They have no spiritual encouragement whatsoever. And they get there. You know what happens? They get discouraged at home. If you have a saved spouse and a saved family, you ought to thank God for it. You just love being around those, you know. And then come here and say, I'm going to help everybody else I can and encourage people. I've been so blessed. I have a wonderful family. God's given me a great wife, puts up with me. You know, that's a great thing. Greatest lady in the world I know is my wife. Greatest lady in all the world that I know is my wife. Because she knows so much about me and she still loves me. She supports me and she prays for me and encourages me. And then she'll say things that I need to hear said, and I can take it from her when I can't take it from somebody else. You know? You can say something to me and I get a little huffy. She can say it to me and I know she loves me. But every man, every woman that knows the Lord faces these things. Could be on a job, could be anywhere. But someone that's close to you sometimes that you have to work with, the devil uses them, you know? These people at work, they just, ha! You come to church on Wednesday night, and all you want to do is just whine and groan and be late, but somebody comes up and says, I'm so glad to see you. God bless you. I know you worked hard today, and here you are at church, and thank God for it. Don't that just do something for you? Man, that's great. That's why we got to work at this. But then when we're working, we have to endure that hardness. That's why we need the encouragement when we get here. Encourage people in the Lord. May the Lord help us. Sometimes we want to just give in a little bit, but don't give in. Don't give in. Don't give in to the fret and to the worries of this world. It'll just bog you down. Put your faith in Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what we're singing as an invitation on page 160. Turn your eyes on Jesus. And that's how we're going to make it through this. That's how we're going to endure this hardness as a good soldier. Whatever Satan finds that's going to wear on you, he's going to use it on you. He'll do everything he can. Whatever he knows will get under your skin. That's what he's going to use. So we have to encourage one another. Sometimes we just have to encourage ourselves in the Lord, you know? So whatever that hardness is, the Bible says to endure it. How? Look to Him. Turn your eyes to Him. By the way, God can remove anything in our lives that we lean on in order that we might turn our eyes on Him. We need to be looking to Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. So what are we going to do? We live in the last days. We have to earnestly contend for the faith, encourage one another in the Lord. And then, dear friends, we're going to have to endure this hardness. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more difficult it is going to be to live as a Christian. So we're going to have to endure these things. May the Lord help us to see that while it's difficult days, there's one on the throne. And the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So our faith's in Him. And He can help us. How do we overcome the world? The Bible says, even our faith.
Amen.
Father, we thank You for Your love. I ask You to be with us now as we look at this time of invitation. Lord, may we be obedient to You. May we honor You. May we be strengthened by Your precious Word. And we realize the day and the hour we're living in is the last days. We don't know how long it is before You're going to return. The more I look, the more I see, the more I believe it's got to be soon, so very soon. But Lord, until that time, even if we live long lives and die, Lord, may we be busy. Lord, earnestly contending for the faith and encouraging and exhorting one another and enduring this hardness. And Lord, may we accomplish Your will in this world with our lives. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen. Page 160, let's stand to our feet tonight. There are people that need to come tonight.